Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom Brady and the Pats have come back. He drops to the knee. On this, the 24th anniversary of the day Robert Kraft purchased the Patriots. Robert Kraft, along with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, have their 27th playoff win and their 8th conference championship together. They're bound for Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis against the Eagles or the Vikings. The final score, the Patriots 24 and the Jaguars 20.
The Patriots are not done. You know who's not done? Zolak and Bertrand. The Patriots are not done. Tell you who's done. Fred and Rich. They're leaving the studio. What's going on, Boston?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Oh, getting ready for another Super Bowl. How about that? How about that? What a day yesterday. What a day. That's the voice of Hardy. Look at you popping in.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Okay, because you had to work last night.
Of course.
And then there's a lot of post work stuff that had to be done.
Absolutely.
Apparently.
Yeah. Sure. So I went out and hung out with Beetle till the end of his show.
Uh-huh.
It was good to see him and Steve DiAssi, and the great job they do in the post game.
Nice that they could both make it into the post game last night, as opposed to the week before.
What a game, though. And obviously, I called the game. One of the guys calling the game. You had the opportunity to observe the game in live.
I was there and got a chance to, see you up there on the big screen. And I have no idea. I didn't get a chance to listen to your call since I was there at the game. But in terms of, like, other come-from-behind games for the Patriots,
How
did you feel about this one? Because Yeah, you're nervous. You're watching it. You're thinking, man, they are really making this tough on themselves. And offensively, weren't getting anything going.
Right.
It can't compare to Super Bowl 51.
Well, the fact
in terms of how bad you felt about things. But I got to tell you, I really didn't think it was going to happen.
It went with Gronkowski out.
Right.
And his inability to affect coverage. Then they could do other things. You could just take one of their better safeties. You know, and you know what? And hey, I understand why Church hit him high. But a punk move by him dancing over him.
Yes.
You know, and they're all taunting him when he's laying there on the ground.
But overall,
you could tell he's getting knocked out.
Overall.
That's why I call him a punk.
Overall, for the game, you're down 10.
Did not feel
you're
good.
Down 10, 9 minutes left. You've managed, you know, a touchdown and a field goal. Did you think they were going to be able? My best case scenario was they're going to tie this thing.
I said it. I don't know, 6 minutes and change left or something. One of the final drive. I said they got
okay. So at that point,
I said they got to get a three and out. And Amendola needs a big return for them to win this game, and it ended up happening. And he got a nice punt return to set him up. And I thought, boy, that's the point where they're really going to take control of this game and take the game over. Because you'd see Jacksonville started to take their foot off the gas. I thought they called about as perfect a game with Blake Bortles managing the game. You know, a little misdirection, getting guys out in the flat. They didn't allow him to lose the game for him. And he made some big throws in that game. He really did. But there are stretches where you could tell, let's hand it off, punt.
Well, the series right after that, I think so, is the one where they needed another three and out, and they ended up picking up a big first down and making it up to the Patriots 45. And I'm thinking, well, hell's bells.
Well,
you can't afford to trade any more scores. You gotta treat this thing like you did in 51, which is shut them down and then
51. I like that.
Score as many.
All right, we're just now.
Yeah, like you did in 51.
49, well, 51. We're going to 52.
It's obnoxious, but it's just the truth. I mean,
that's what we do.
What are you gonna do? You gonna apologize every time you mention the Patriots in the postseason?
No, I just like that.
Look at
like
Jim.
That.
Jim's got a pep in his step. He's smiling ear to ear. He slept like 10 minutes last night. He doesn't care. Look at him. Nobody, how much?
He's enjoying the ride.
You're enjoying the ride. Exactly.
That's
and Hardy
doing.
Wants to kill him again. So it's just
no. I'm kind of with Jim today. This is an enjoy it.
You know
type
where
of day.
You know where I thought they may be dead is when you know they're throwing the kitchen sink at it when they run a flea flicker and the reverse pass, the throwback to Deion Lewis.
Oh.
You know, Dorsett makes the catch.
Dorsett. That play to me is the play where you look at it and say, okay, all right, they're going to give themselves a chance here. They're going to be able to pull off a 31-yard gain to Philip Dorsett.
Right. But when the throwback to Deion Lewis happened and that thing ended up getting ruled a fumble, I thought he had, even though the ball wasn't in his hand, I thought the ball was controlled between the leg and his forearm. I thought he's down by contact. And when that thing got, I don't want to say, when the call stood, they originally ruled that a fumble. I said, uh-oh, we're in trouble.
And the way they called it, they actually did call it the right way. So the way it's written and the way they want to interpret it is that you have to regain possession with your hands as you hit the ground.
Which he did not.
So when you land, you have to have full possession when you land.
But the penalties, Beadle, how can you say that? The officials were in the bag for the Patriots. Yards.
I mean, that's going on again.
Oh, the penalty yards.
Right? I thought that the officials Cleek in that
Blakeman.
Game.
Oh, he's in the hip pocket.
I don't think they did a very good job. I don't think that they were good officials.
Well, Patriots receivers got mugged all day.
I mean, it was because they were letting everything go.
Yeah.
They were letting everything go. They could have called twice as many penalties. Well, they have 9 for Jacksonville. They could have called 20 on Jacksonville in that game. And there were a few where the Patriots could have been called too, but at least they were at points starting to be consistent.
They were consistently letting them play.
Yeah, consistently bad. And that's what they were. But you can't tell me that the officials were the reason why the Patriots were able to come back in this game.
You didn't see the ref congratulating Brady at the end of the game?
It's all over the place. Don't have that delay a game penalty, right? If you're Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I mean, that came back to bite
them. I'm watching the play clock. The quarterback's not.
Did it feel like that was going to kill them? Did it feel like that was going to derail Jacksonville? No.
No.
Not at the time. You look back at it now and say, wow, that really actually hurt them. That delay a game actually mattered at the end. Taking care of those little things. I mean, Jacksonville won this game for the first 50 minutes.
Yep. But again, what do opponents learn by playing this Patriots team? It's a 60-minute game when you play them.
Yes.
You got to play it. They're never dead. I don't know what it is. It's ingrained in you. It's part of your DNA. You know, to not cash it in. I've been on so many teams in past years.
You were up
years
by
where,
10 in the fourth quarter and you lost.
Yeah. With the ball.
That was a great three quarters you played.
And,
great three quarters.
And Brady's number one target out of the game.
Go on. They had to throw out their whole play. The whole game plan went. And he only carried two tight ends.
What did Brady
Dwayne
say?
Dwayne Allen's your other tight end.
What did they say last night? 75% of the game plan after Gronk went out?
Yep.
Change. Gone.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
When you're starting to call flea flickers and this and that, that's where I start to get scared because now, it's dire.
It's desperate.
Well, it reminds me of the Ravens game in the divisional round.
Yes.
Is what it does going back to 2014 now? It was that was for 49.
That was for
the year 49.
I get so confused. 49, 51.
That
52.
Was on the way to 49, that one.
How else are we supposed to talk about this team in shorthand speak?
I don't know.
Other than sound like a complete jackass when you do it.
But it's
you can't apologize.
Amendola is on a new level for me today. He's great.
What?
We all know he's great.
Yeah.
I think he reaches some sort of new status after that game last night.
Yes.
He does.
He's done it before, but not on a stage.
Well,
I also think
it adds up. Like it's a cumulative effect. The more you do it, the more you reach new levels.
It's not an anomaly. That's who he is.
There are people counting him out prior to the start of the year. He signs a modeling contract because that's going to be his next phase.
I thought there was a chance he wasn't going to be on the team. We talked about that in training camp. I said, Danny Amendola, if everyone's healthy, right? That was the thing. I said, if everybody's healthy.
Right.
He might be the odd man out here, and everyone wasn't healthy, so it never came into play. I mean, they never got Malcolm Mitchell on the field. They ended up having injuries, like every team does. You know, Julian Edelman ripping up his knee, and Malcolm Mitchell never getting on the field. What if Edelman and Mitchell are both healthy and on the roster day one? Would there have been a chance that Danny Amendola wasn't even on this team?
I don't know that because he took the pay cut again.
That's the thing.
I mean, if it's gun to the head and you won't take the pay cut, then it becomes a numbers issue. Then, he could have got popped.
But if you keep taking pay cuts and they keep asking you to take pay cuts, it's not because they absolutely need you on the team.
It's because they're.
It's not because they view you as someone that is absolutely money somewhere else. To have, right? If they, hey Danny, listen, we're getting. You know how those conversations go.
Sure.
You either take the pay cut or we're getting rid of you. That's how the. So when a guy is taking a pay cut, there was an ultimatum issued in there somewhere. You either take the pay cut or we're not doing business with you anymore.
Right. Right.
So they don't view you as an essential employee when they're asking you to take those pay cuts.
Speaking of Danny Amendola, there's, I guess, Hardy's old Danny Amendola song is sort of resurfacing. I've seen it on Twitter and stuff.
There will be
a new version of it?
There will be a new version of that today. Well, it needed updating.
Oh, boy. Okay.
It's good.
All right.
It's good, isn't it?
Can't wait for that. We're taking your reaction all
day. He's good.
He's really good.
He's good.
On the AT&T fan line, that's 617-779-0985. And we'll get right
to
it.
Load him up.
We'll load him up. Take your calls. We're going to talk about this game all day. Talk about the NFC a little bit today. A little bit. Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
I'm so happy the Eagles won.
We got Philly and New England in the Super Bowl. CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Acura of Peabody. Boomer talking about Allie Raisman's powerful courtroom testimony last week.
Solak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So you got to ask the defense one more time to get a stop here. You may need to do it with a three and out. Big stop by the defense and a Danny Amendola punt return.
Amendola to run up and make the catch from the 50. Left to the 45, to the 40. Amendola to the 35, 30. Danny Amendola on the return. Set up by the defense. Puts the Patriots at the Jaguars' 30-yard line. Shotgun snap to Brady. Backs up. Screens it left for James White. Heads up here. Past the 25-20. White to the 15-yard line. Shotgun snap to Brady. Backs up. Looks down the middle. Throws down the middle. Amendola makes the catch. On a dirt. Just beyond the reach of Colvin. And takes the snap. He play fakes to White. Stands in the end zone. He looks down the middle. He fires and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola. Touchdown. He made the grab just inside the end line, and New England is taking the lead.
I love Tom Brady.
Ah, nice job. Nice job, so.
It's your final drive right there. What a stop. Three and out, set you up on a punt return.
What a call, though.
And then, bam, darts.
Called it.
Did call it. Sometimes you get it right. There's some rains in the desert.
You read Shaughnessy today?
No. Not doing it this week.
No, come on.
I refuse to.
He's in here tomorrow, right?
I'm not doing it. I'll deal with him tomorrow.
He's in for his regular Tuesday tomorrow.
Don't tell me it's a tomato can you beat.
He said, if you've been paying attention all these years, you knew there was never any doubt. These are the Patriots. And there is always a great comeback on deck. It doesn't matter if the Patriots trail 28-3 in the Super Bowl or look beaten when the other team is ready to score a certain game-winning touchdown from 1 yard out. It certainly doesn't matter if the Patriots are trailing the surprising Jacksonville Jaguars 20-10 with less than 9 minutes to play in an AFC championship game.
When did they put Bon Jovi on the big screen?
I don't recall.
That's where I think it started to turn for Jacksonville. Like the whole
it was
talking
it was
about
a,
the moment.
It was when they were down, when they were up by a field goal. It was 20-17 at that point.
20-17. Okay. See, it started to turn from there because I saw the whole bench. Like the whole bench was fine. Like they were in such control of the game. You watch the offense, you watch their defense, and everything's right in front of us. So I'm watching their bench the entire time, and I thought they really the game didn't feel big for them until about that moment. Because they threw him up on the Jumbotron, and I just saw the bench all stop and stare at the Jumbotron. And they're, like, pointing, like, holy crap, it's Bon Jovi. This is a big thing.
Dan does go on to write today, though, so I will give him credit. He says,
say?
No tomato cans this time.
Ooh.
The worthy Jags played very well for a good portion of this game, and their naive fans probably thought they were going to shock the world. We know better. We've been watching this for 17 years, and there's always another Brady comeback, another tuck rule, replay reversal, or dumb decision by the opposition. When the clock hits triple zeros and the confetti flies, the ever better and smarter than you Patriots hoist the championship trophy over their heads while the stunned visitors spit out pieces of their broken luck. That is what he said. No tomato cans this time, calling the Jags worthy, saying they played well, which is all true. No one should have been overlooking the Jaguars. That opinion has been validated. The Jags are a tough team, and their quarterback played the freaking game of his life. No one saw that part coming. I wouldn't have called that. I don't think anybody did. But defensively, that's a tough team. Tough team to do that against. And of course, the Patriots did it.
Yeah.
Of course they did. Of course.
I mean, it's just, again, you talk about missing guys, you know, Edelman being down at the start of the year. And the guy that opens up the locker room doors in pregame, it's Dante High. Like, we haven't talked about Hightower. The loss of Hightower and what that's meant.
What is there to talk about?
No, I'm just, like, it's just you keep getting reminded of, wow, that guy's out too. This guy's out too. And we just sort of live the moment. Okay, a 13-3 team, they get a bye. They got the number one overall seed. And they still do it after losing all these guys where other teams would lose guys of this caliber, you know, the type of players they are, and their season would be done. They'd be 8-8 teams. They still find ways to get this done. Gilmore. You know, when I'm talking to somebody, I said, wait till you see this guy next year. And this is a player. Guy plays in a secondary with him. I know a lot of things have been said. Again, he's a beast. He said he's starting to understand our system now. But it's taken a while. And I was reminded of Revis. Like, it took Revis 8, 9, 10 weeks to learn this system. They go, wait until you see Gilmore next year. When this guy's got it up and under him and he knows all the call, everything that's going to come naturally to him, he goes, this guy's going to be a beast next year. Like, that play at the end of the game, that's what you pay that guy for. That's earning your contract, making plays like that. The Dorsett catch, like, where the hell did that come from? Like, who would have thought that would have happened? Brandon Cooks?
Brandon Cooks fighting for a ball right before that.
Brandon Cooks. I mean, yeah, okay, the deep drag.
First time for everything.
The deep drag almost hit him right in the helmet, almost knocked him out, right? Great throw by Brady. He drops that one. But every other ball, like, he competed. He came to play yesterday. Brandon Cooks had a damn good game yesterday. Damn good game.
Really important touchdown that I think will probably get lost in all of this is the touchdown before halftime. And that drive.
Huge.
Now, half of it came on penalties. 32-yard penalty for pass interference on Cooks. The 15-yarder on Gronk. We'll get to that. But that touchdown is so extremely important in all of this. That they got that score before the half.
That was everything. Momentum.
That was massive.
Yeah. Because they got the ball to start the second half. Remember, they deferred. Huge. That was huge. Now all of a sudden you got a game. At that point, you couldn't do anything. Had nothing. No success whatsoever offensively. Then you start worrying, okay, is Brady's hand bad? We're watching the sideline. You're watching the sideline. Hoyer starts throwing.
You know, Hoyer was like, throwing early. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, what are we doing here? Toast. Thought you were toast.
And that was on
point.
The second drive, the second Patriot drive where they went 3 and out or they had 4 plays on that drive. Yeah, I think it was 4 plays. And they had a first down to Cooks, then they ran 3 times. We're looking at this like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
It's like the play calling here. And that's when Hoyer was up warming, and you thought something was going on. And luckily, there was nothing going on. How'd Brady look with the stitches? Didn't look to impact him all that much. I think his throws were off. He had a couple of ones that he threw high.
Yeah, but I think that was more because of the edge guy. That Calais Campbell at 6'8", and his
huge
wingspan.
Hands.
And the problem is you're trying to get the ball to Deion Lewis, who is diminutive. You know, and you can't really put zip on the ball. But you can't also float it because they're going to react. They were so athletic and fast. I was impressed with their defense. I really was. That Telvin Smith, he's a hell of a player. Hell of a player. You know, that's a guy, like, when they redid his contract, I'm like, who? Who the hell's Telvin Smith? Remember he got that big extension? It's like, who is this guy? Never heard of him. Well, yeah, you heard of him now. Guy's a hell of a player. That team hits. They're the old Ravens, man. That's what that reminded me of. That game last night reminded me of those divisional games against the Ravens.
So incredibly physical.
Yeah. That's the way football should be played. That was a damn good game.
617-779-0985. Let's go to your calls. I'm Mike in West Roxbury. Hey, Mike.
Mikey.
Great game. I just wanted to show the defensive first off. For me, it was really great to see Bledsoe being the honorary captain and giving the trophy for people that are younger and who don't really know. Like, for me, he really signifies the end of a really bad era around here in the 70s and 80s and 90s. The 80s and 90s. And it was just the start of something great when Bledsoe came here, leading into Brady. But about the defense, you know, I really felt like back when 4th and 2 happened, which was when Belichick decided to go for 4th-and-2 in a regular season game against Indy, like on our side of the field, and there was a lot of controversy. He's really shown faith in the defense, and it started in that Super Bowl against Seattle where they could have called the timeout at the end of the game to preserve, 20, 30 seconds, but he decided to let the defense stop Seattle at the end of the game. And last night, I know a lot of fans, a lot of the people I'm with are saying, go for it. It's 4th-and-2. Go for it. It's 4th-and-3 at the 50. And he didn't. He kept putting faith and showing faith in the defense. And I really think that paid off. I think they felt that he was putting his faith in them, even over, a Hall of Fame quarterback. Well,
I mean, did he have a choice, though?
No, but, there you're playing a field position game, too. But also, if it's so dire and the game feels like, this thing's slipping, we need to pop something and do something here. The defense at that time and that point of the game was trending in the right direction. That's why he's putting them back out there. Okay, we're starting to feel it. We made adjustments. Second half defense, much better than they played in the first half. Phenomenal
adjustments. And I don't think that not calling a timeout in 49, I like how we're doing that today, in 49, it was about faith in the defense. I think it was about he knew Pete Carroll expected him to call a timeout and was banking on there being a timeout. And then Bill said, no, go ahead, run your play.
He's explained it. It's a personnel thing. I'm watching him. You're watching me.
I'll get my guys on the field.
Yep.
That was Malcolm Go.
Your move first.
Malcolm Go.
Yep.
That was that play. He was not going to give him the benefit of the timeout. He said, no, force him to. And he sat there looking at it carefully, watching, and said, we'll just put our guy. Let's play the game. And I think Seattle expected them to call a timeout, and then they didn't. But I don't know that there was much of a decision to be made last night. Did you think there was?
No.
Some decision in there that showed faith in the defense?
Said, I got a punt. Pin them back. And at that point, that's when Jacksonville got nervous, too, because you had the run, then you get a couple punts from them to where, we're not going to put the ball up for grabs here. We're not going to let Blake make a mistake.
You're at a point where you're saying, well, listen, we got to make stops if we're going to win this game. So we have the defense we have. They're either going to make a stop or they're not. You don't have much of a choice there. 617-779-0985. We will get to why the Jaguars were stupid at 11 a.m. We'll continue with more of your calls here on Zolak and Bertrand. Brady and Belichick going to their 8th Super Bowl together.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots scored a pair of fourth-quarter touchdowns. They beat Jacksonville in the AFC Championship game 24-20. On defense, Stephon Gilmore made the big play, knocking down a Blake Bortles pass on fourth down to preserve a win.
Just make the play. I kind of knew he was going to run it, and I just did whatever I could to not let him catch it.
Tom Brady threw for 290 yards and 2 scores. Patriots off to the Super Bowl for the 3rd time in 4 years. They'll play Philadelphia. The Eagles crushed Minnesota last night in the NFC Championship game 38-7. Minnesota offensive coordinator Pat Shermer expected to become the next head coach of the New York Giants. ESPN is reporting that Jets quarterbacks coach Jeremy Bates will be promoted to offensive coordinator. And the Celtics lost to Orlando 103-95 yesterday at TD Garden. Kyrie Irving 40 points in a loss. Celtics off today to fly to the West Coast. They open up a 4-game road trip against the Lakers tomorrow night at Staples Center. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Becker College. Earn your degree your way, enrolling for evening and online classes now. I'm John Wallach of Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update with Hardy in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Didn't look good with 9 minutes left. The Pats trailed by 10 when they lined up for first and goal. G-O-A-L, goal.
A first and goal to go from the 9.
Rob got bumped and Brandon was cooked. But then Brady said, I can always find Amendola.
Looks down the middle.
D-O-L-A, Dola.
Hit by Amendola.
Danny Amendola.
We got life. Somebody making a play to Danny Amendola.
They were down by 3.
Takes the snap.
They needed to score.
The play fakes Dwight.
Go up by 4.
He looks down the middle.
So Tom said please.
He fires and the ball is.
Danny, can you catch one more for me?
Caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola. Touchdown. Patriots.
Amendola.
Bend the grab.
And now they'll play ball. Super Bowl in Minnesota.
Danny
Amendola.
Playoff Amendola.
Danny Amendola.
Somebody on his drive.
Amendola
elevates.
Danny Amendola.
end zone.
Clutch.
Wow.
I like on the call when nice you could hear party. You guys watching the replay and like freaking out all over again. 1 foot, 2 feet. I would hope so.
So he couldn't have got the other one down. There's no way. Did he complete it?
I didn't think he did.
You know, and you're waiting. Did he complete the catch through the ground? Now, like, now you're trained.
It's we're very watching. Pliable. Did pliability.
Wow.
Everybody's watching, and they're all going nuts. I'm like, I don't know that he's in. What? And then they lining up for the extra point. I'm like, I guess he got the other foot in.
Unreal.
I couldn't believe he got the second foot
in. One of my favorite parts of our Sundays at Gillette Stadium is when the crowd doesn't have a replay, and we do.
Oh, yeah.
And all the people looking, in front of our booth turn around and look at us.
Like, I don't know.
We've got like an entire section and a half of people that will turn around and either try and look into the booth to see the TVs or just base it on our reaction. And when we said 2 feet, there's like 25 people in front of us. They're like, yeah! They knew at that point that it was in. Because they probably had the same concerns that everyone else did. Did he get that second foot down? Was he in?
That may be your best production ever.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's a keeper.
Until 12:50.
What's 12:50?
Sounds of Sunday.
We're doing that today?
Oh, we got a Sounds
of Sunday. Of course we are.
We got a Sounds of Sunday song that we got to get you guys.
I didn't know that.
In the booth because my, we call them the guide vocal tracks. We're about midnight last night. I had no voice left. So that it's going to be very, very little help for you two today.
Oh, the guide vocals.
The guide vocals are very weak.
That's okay. We'll pick it up.
We have weak trees.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. We'll always do.
Figure it out. We'll make it magical. Danny Amendola, 7 catches, 84 yards, pair of touchdowns. I'm telling you, that puts him at some new level. New level yesterday that he reached after that game. That puts him in the class of the Troy Browns of Patriots history.
And the punt return.
Oh, of course. Of course. I said it last night. I'm like, this is another Troy Brown in Patriots history, right?
4th and 2, first quarter, right? Throw that little rainbow pass to Amendola
on the first drive,
the pass that nobody can catch all season long.
Yeah, that was Zoe was going crazy over the throw. The catch was ridiculous. That's a hard catch to make, and he made that grab. He doesn't see. This is the problem. He makes a catch like that look relatively easy. And he doesn't then get the credit for it. The throw was fabulous. I'm not taking away anything from the throw. But it felt like Danny Amendola didn't get enough credit for the catch that he made on that. In that spot. Turning the way that he did to make that grab. So
did you like him going for it?
I didn't love it.
I didn't at all.
I didn't hate it. But I thought it was risky. That was a little risky. A little risky. A little risky.
I roll dice sometimes.
A little risky. Once they took the timeout, though, I thought, oh, they're definitely going for it.
Yeah.
There's no question now. They're not burning a timeout this early to not go for
that's
it.
That's what I said too. I said, yeah. You don't think they're calling timeout to get the field goal team out there. Wow. Some rating stuff just popped in.
Oh, yeah? What do you got?
CBS says that the Patriots Jaguars was the highest rated show on TV since the last Super Bowl. They did a 27.3 share.
Nationally?
Yeah. Highest rated
51
program.
51 you're talking about, right?
Yes, since Super Bowl.
Since 51.
49, 51, 52, right? Yeah. Hardy, when was your Who Man thing? That was for 49, right?
That's what we do.
Right?
What are you talking about?
The Michael Omananui song.
I don't think that was 49. I think it was before that.
You sure? No, I think it was 49. Well, yeah, because they threw it to him down. That was the Ravens game. They were down 14 twice. That was the Who Man.
What year was the unfortunate incident with Hernandez? Because it was
13. Right. It was 13.
That was 13.
And lost to the Broncos. That was the Austin Collie year.
But it was also. The first time it was produced was even before that because Hernandez was mentioned just as like an injury.
Yeah, so it was 12 and 13.
12 and 13. How's he doing?
Who's that?
Who, man?
I don't know.
Get knocked out of the playoffs by the Vikings last week.
Yeah, he was still with the Saints.
I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's up to.
Not a ton.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. Pete's in New Hampshire. Hey, Pete.
Oh, hey, guys. Just a couple of questions. Well, one play that I thought we were done for was when on the fumble of Lewis, and I was screaming at the TV for him to switch hands because the ball was, like, on the inside. And then, of course, you could see the guy just bearing down on it. And so so that I thought, well, okay, this is it. But then I don't know, on the telecast, on an Amendola catch, Brady threw, looked like it was going to Cooks. They were both in the same
yes.
area. And when he threw it, you could see the defender from Jacksonville bearing down. I was like, oh, shoot, this is going to get intercepted. And then Dola comes out of nowhere. I don't know if you, on the telecast, I didn't even see him. And they, like, he just picked it out. So I didn't know if like, the way you guys saw it, if that was like a design play or if that was just Amendola saying, you know, the hell with this, I'm catching this one.
Yeah, I think he drifted there. I think he drifted and just took it into his own hands there, obviously. But I said it on the broadcast. I said that ball's intended for Cooks. Just on the trajectory of the throw and when Brandon was coming out of his break. And he is correct. That defender was going to take that ball away from Cooks. He was going to break that up. So, hey, little luck. That's one of those plays where you look back and say, boy, we had some luck on that one. But he went and made a great play on it.
What did you say that rating was? 27?
At 27.3, 50 share. I just retweeted. Ben Volen had to tweet.
Is that locally? No, that can't be. That's gonna be. That's the national.
That's a. That's a
locally
CBS.
Locally, higher.
Yeah. Locally, it's gonna. It's gonna be. It's gonna be huge.
I'm looking at that. That would make it.
It's.
It would make it the highest rated Patriots AFC Championship game. In a long time, if not all time. I'm looking at some of the previous ones.
Yeah.
New England at Denver, January of 14 was 17.41. The two Baltimore games. In 12 and 13, were 16-8 and 16-4. Mm. Yeah, wow. Okay.
It's because of the hand. That hand hyped up this game like no other this week.
Why? Because people thought he might actually lose? Is that what it is?
It drew attention to the game all last week, starting on Wednesday.
It's all you can talk about. And it geared up all towards Friday. It's all you can talk about.
Pittsburgh at New England last year was a 15-9 nationally.
Oh, man.
That was in the late spot, too.
Yeah. That was a 15-9 last year. That was January, actually, a year ago today. That was a year ago today. Pittsburgh, New England did a 15-9. The year before was the Patriots at Denver. That did a 17-9.
It's the hand, and I think...
Holy smokes.
You know, nationally,
that is a massive gap.
Nationally, you're tuning in. So much for ratings being a problem, right? Nationally, you're tuning in, I think, to root against New England.
I got a thought on the opponent, on it being Philadelphia, and what it's going to mean for the Super Bowl and how big of a game it's going to be. We'll get to that coming up next. Next hour, we will have why the Jaguars were stupid, read and react. And we never got to the fake promos on Friday because Tom Brady was speaking.
Yeah.
We'll do those at 11:50 today. All right? Get a couple of yucks.
Got a lot.
Get a couple of yucks. A lot to get to. A lot to get to. Early Super Bowl thoughts next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
But I think Lane Johnson, SVP, summed it up best. Let me give you this quote from the Eagles All-Pro right tackle. He said, "Pretty boy Tom Brady." Now, this is a quote, actual quote. "Pretty boy Tom Brady, greatest of all time. I like nothing better to dethrone that guy." How about that?
I used to be a rolling stone, you know. They're already starting with that.
Come on. How about that?
Your guy, Beatles, South Out.
Oh, he's a dope.
I love South. I'll see him this week.
Why you love him, I don't know.
I don't know. I dig him.
Yeah, you dig
him. He's got a little swag to him. How about that?
Yeah, he reports things like 8 hours after everyone else got it.
That's ESPN.
Or 8 days in the case of Deflategate. That was when I soured on Sal Pal.
Yeah.
These stupid Sal Pal reports in the parking lot at Gillette Stadium of things that were reported days ago. Like, what is this? Don't waste my time with this.
Let's get him on our show tomorrow.
Like, go for it.
Before you get to your Eagles thing, you want the local rating quick? It just popped up on my screen.
Yes.
50.1. Lower than last year's Patriots-Steelers game.
Wow.
Nationally, had more draw than locally.
Wow.
Brady.
So locally, it did less?
Slightly less. It was a 51.6 last year against Pittsburgh.
So pretty much the same. No real difference
it's
there.
It's
the same.
Yeah, 51 to 50.
Yeah, all intent. That's not.
Oh, 49?
But that could be just in the measurement. You know what I mean? The same amount of people were probably watching. It probably was no different.
49 or 51?
Like when
but it's still the same thing. It's about the same here, but way more nationally.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, nationally, that's such a large gap in number that you know there were a lot. That's not some anomaly in gathering the data from the cable boxes. That is, wow, there was a lot more people that were watching that game yesterday nationally.
If you cover sports in this town or do sports radio or do the news or write for any paper and you weren't talking about, you talked about something else other than Tom Brady's hand, whether it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're not doing your job. Like that's not the story. The story was his hand. You know the calls I had on Saturday? What'd you hear about the hand? What'd you think? I don't know. I didn't see him. Obviously, I don't see him. I know.
Oh, well, not
nobody.
Not but, the day you don't see him. The day before the game,
dude. But, nobody talked about it though.
You see him?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. As you sit here with your TB12,
I saw him after the game.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, he had no problem showing everybody after the game.
I know.
He's like, hurt a little bit.
He even told everyone he's going to get the stitches out midweek.
Yeah,
he's going to get the stitches out midweek. He'll be ready to roll.
Oh, dude, it's just the next chapter. So I met Chopra. He had his camera there. He was on the sidelines.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Gotham?
Yep.
So, when it gets to the Super Bowl stuff with Philadelphia, right? The way Philadelphia won yesterday is good for this game. Mm-hmm. Is good for the Super Bowl. The Eagles come in after a huge blowout victory. And the Patriots come in having just edged out the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Which, even though we give them the respect they deserve as a good team and a great defense,
yeah,
people still look at them and say they're the Jaguars. Brady's got the hand thing, even if the stitches are out, even if it's not a factor in 2 weeks. And people still are going to view Tom Brady and the Patriots as vulnerable going into this game. And they're going to view the Eagles as the best team in the NFC. And having come in just off a blowout. I mean, they dominated that game. That was a joke.
The game was over first quarter.
Oh, man, that was a joke. Vikings got up 7-0 and then never scored again.
They shouldn't have been there anyway. Vikings shouldn't even been in that spot. Like, the way they won that game, you know, against the Saints, just a fluke. It was a fluke. Now, you could say, well, they made the play. Yeah, they deserve to be there. I get that. But, come on. Saints had that game won.
So last night, opening line on the Super Bowl was 5.5. That was what it was at, 5.5. I'm willing to bet that there are a lot of people nationally that are taking the Eagles in those 5.5 points today. That would be my guess. Someone will confirm or deny that at some point. We'll maybe talk to RJ at some point, see what he knows about that, where the money's coming in.
He was tweeting that last night. He had a couple tweets, a couple spots after the Patriots won.
But I think it's going to be good for the game. The way that the Eagles won their game is going to be good for the Super Bowl in terms of the level of interest. That's what I think.
I just think it's
I thought Minnesota playing a home Super Bowl would be a good story.
That story would have been dead after a day.
This is good, and you know what? I think the trash talk is great. Keep it coming, Philly.
Those fans. Philly fans. Just nasty. I'll never forget Jacksonville. That Super Bowl felt like it was 90% Philadelphia fans as opposed to 10% Patriots fans. That was an utter home game for the Philadelphia Eagles down there.
And early?
They're going to travel.
Most of the books that started at 6 are now down to 5.5. Most of the books that started at 5.5 are down to 5.
Okay, so there you go. That money's coming in on the Eagles. That's what's going on there.
You're right. Yeah.
Over-under is going up. It's at 48 now. 48.5 some places.
Whoa. Which means people were taking the Eagles and the over for the Super Bowl. That's what they were taking.
Smart. If you're going to pick the Eagles, you're going to think there's going to be points scored,
yep.
Right?
So let's see where that line ends up. That's going to move a little bit. It's going to move. I didn't think it would be that high at the open. I didn't think it would be. RJ had projected it would open at 7. I'm like, that seems absurd. 5.5 at least seems better. And now we're talking it's down to 5. And I bet it's not done moving. Not done yet. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Ken, who's in Ipswich. Ken.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Great game yesterday and doesn't need any further comment from me, but I wanted to make reference to just a piece of an article I read earlier this morning by Tommy Curran talking about I mean, you could plug in Seattle, Atlanta, and now Jacksonville, but you guys are going to touch on game management by the Jags, or more specifically, game mismanagement. But I really like this one particular line about the whole philosophy if you end up being the unfortunate opponent of the Patriots. So if I may, I'll just very briefly quote this one little bit. If you steal a lead against the Patriots, you don't hide in the closet and hope they don't come looking for you there. They always look in the closet, and they'll always find you there. And in the end, they'll always find you and get you. And
sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah, I just thought it was in its simplicity, it was pretty eloquent about
right.
The poor sons of guns on the other end of the stick playing the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And that's all I really wanted to do, just comment on that article. I thought it was...
I think Elliot hid E.T. in the closet when they first found E.T., and his sister had all those dolls, and like the mother, like they didn't want to find E.T., so he kind of blended with all those dolls in the closet.
Yeah.
So we go back to, you know, that stuff.
Anyway, I like those lines, and I just wanted to give it a shout out, if you will.
Hey, we just did. So there you go. You read it on air.
Done.
Very well done.
Done and done. That's what that is.
Done. Never hide in the closet because they come looking for you.
You want to talk about the Jaguars?
Sure.
He's talking about feeling bad for the other guys. Do we feel bad for the Jaguars today?
Nope.
I feel a little bad for those fans that traveled up here, just a little bit.
Why?
That must have really sucked to have to lose that game after being up the way you were.
Their Jaguars suits.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't have felt bad for them if they were just losing the entire day. But the fact that they were up and then they had their hearts ripped out. I felt a little bad for them. I don't feel bad for the team. I don't feel bad for Leonard Fournette and Blake Bortles crying their faces off after the game. I don't feel bad for those guys.
Well, they were upset.
Ramsey running his mouth. Were they crying?
The fans, yeah. You didn't see this?
Dude, come on. I didn't see any of the post-game stuff.
Fournette was bawling.
Really?
On the field, in the tunnel, it was all on video.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He didn't take it so well.
Cry, baby.
I don't feel bad for him. I do feel bad for the people that like spent the money and made the effort to get up here.
Real people.
And yeah, you know.
Like, yeah. Leonard's going
to
be fine.
And they're there. And
real Topeka people.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they just had it all ripped out. And there was a guy. There was one guy I saw who was wearing his like 1996 playoff Jaguars hat. So I'm like, all right, this guy's been this isn't like some Johnny come lately. This guy has been a Jags fan for a while.
Oh, yeah. He's OGJ.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh, that sucks. I'm
watching
sorry,
the Bouye, AJ Bouye penalty that's called on him for the PI on Brandon Cooks. He mugged him the whole freaking way down.
Okay.
What was Tony Boselli talking
about? We'll get
to
that. Well, actually, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to Tony Boselli. Ugh. Because the people need to know that story. The people need to know about that.
Face.
Why the Jags are stupid, 90 seconds away.